At chapter 21. The Lord willing, on September the 8th, planning to begin a series through the book of Galatians. And so I'm looking forward to that and ask that you would pray for your own heart's preparation and mine as well as we begin a new study. But this morning, from Genesis, beginning at chapter 21, verse 1, we read, "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, 'God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me.' She also said, 'Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age.'" And now to chapter 22. "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.' So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place of which God had told him. Now on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, 'Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you.' So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it up on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, 'My father.' And he said, 'Here I am, my son.' And he said, 'Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?' And Abraham said, 'My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering.' So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' So he said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Do not lay your hand on the lad, nor do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.' And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, 'The Lord will provide,' as it is said to this day, 'In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided.' Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, 'By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice.' So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba." The grass withers and the flowers fade, but his word abides forever. Well, friends in the Lord Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, I think all of us here this morning know what it's like to wait for something and to continue to wait for something. And then that something that we're waiting for comes and we're filled with joy. And then that something is suddenly taken away from us. or at least threatened to be taken away. And we hear stories like that of parents who are not able to have children themselves, and so they explore the option of adoption, which many of you have done. And waiting and waiting and waiting, they finally receive that little boy or that little girl, and they are filled with joy inexpressible because they finally have a child to call their own, to raise, to love, to nurture. But then weeks, months later, they're told by the state that they need to give the child back to the birth mom. What sorrow, heartache. Abraham and Sarah had been waiting for a child of their own for 90 to 100 years. And in chapter 21, he finally comes. But in chapter 22, there's a possibility that he would be taken away. I'm guessing almost everyone in this room this morning has heard of this story and is well familiar with this story, the way it goes, the way it turns out. But what I want you to do and try to do is to remember that these are real people. These are people with real emotions, with real feelings. This is a dad. This is a mom. And as we go through this passage, I want you to try to remember that and the emotions of this story. This morning, we're going to look at three things. First of all, the gift. Secondly, the test. And finally, the way. The gift, the test, and the way. First of all, we see the gift given in chapter 21. Finally, the Lord visited Sarah, chapter 21, verse 1, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken, and Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Just as he said, just as he had spoken. A plaque on Abraham and Sarah's house could read, God is faithful. As we could have in our homes as well, as we are called to have and believe in our hearts, that God does what he says he will do. The promise given was now the promise realized 25 years later. I want you to think about that for a moment with me. 25 years later, I have a hard time waiting 25 minutes. If you're downloading something, you have a hard time waiting 25 seconds. But this was 25 years. But God's timing is always best, and his promises will always come to fruition, if not in the next even 25 years, then to be sure at the coming of our Lord when he makes all things new and brings his promises to pass. As we read in Hebrews, one of my favorite verses, Hebrews 10:23, let us then hold unswervingly to the faith we profess, for God who promised is faithful. Whatever concerns you this morning, whatever promises you're waiting to see fulfilled, cast your cares upon him. And so this gift comes to Abraham and Sarah after all of those years, and they receive him and they name him in verse 3. The name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, was named Isaac. And you know, right, that Isaac means literally laughter. Laughter. And there's so much beautiful irony here. Because remember, it was Abraham and it was Sarah who laughed when they found the news that God told them that they would bear a son in their old age. Laughter. How appropriate. God, as Sarah said in verse 6, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. Laughter is a sign of joy, isn't it? I remember in college, my best friend in college, Kevin, we would go down to Krispy Kreme donuts. We went to Covenant College and we would descend the mountain and go into the city of Chattanooga just hoping that the red light was on. That means the donuts are fresh and hot. And we would go, and if the red light was on, we would get excited, and we would go and get some donuts. And I'll never forget this. When Kevin would eat a fresh, hot, Krispy Kreme donut, you know what he would do? He would laugh. He would laugh. Why? Because of the enjoyment of it. Because he didn't know what else to do with himself except delight in the flavor of the donuts. And in a much bigger measure, no wonder they named the boy Laughter. Laughter is a sign of our delight in something. Let me ask you this. Has salvation which God has wrought for you brought laughter into your heart and into your home? Or are our homes gloomy, critical, sad, depressing, homes of grumbling and complaining? Or is there laughter because of what God has done for us in giving His only begotten Son? God wants us to be people who laugh well and who have joy that bubbles over. Well, not only was he named, he was then circumcised. This was a child of the covenant of grace. Every time Abraham would look at his son, every time Sarah would bring her son to herself to nurse, she would be reminded that he is a child of the promise. This is all of grace, as we've seen throughout this study of Abraham. Who would have thought this moment would have come about? As Sarah says in verse 7, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, for I have borne him a son in his old age? And then as Moses adds in verse 5, Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. What a proud papa this would have been. I just have this picture in my mind of Father Abraham. This is before the days of digital cameras, but if he had one, he'd be taking pictures left and right. He'd be showing his friends. This is sort of like a camcorder dad, if you know what I mean. One of those dads that's always behind a camera, always taking video of his kids. Because he wants to capture every last moment of his children's upbringing so that he can watch it when he's old. And he can rejoice in their memories. Abraham must have been such a thankful father. All of those years, finally he was here. God, against all ordinary odds, out of the mere goodness of his grace, showers this gray and wrinkled couple, not with a great-grandchild or a great-grandchild, great-great-grandchild, but with a son. A son named Isaac. If this was a movie, that'd be a fine way to end. We'd be watching the credits, wiping tears of joy away from our eyes, looking forward to the sequel. But this story is not a movie. It's real life. And the story is far from over. So we go from this gift, this laughter, this joy, to a test. Chapter 22, a test. First, we see the test announced. The outset, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then God said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. This is shocking. Boys and girls, I looked up the definition of shock, shocked, what it means to be shocked. Something that jars the mind or emotions as if with a violent and unexpected blow. You've been shocked before about news that you didn't see coming. I remember being shocked when my parents' house burned down. I remember being shocked when my friend died in an accident. A blow unexpectedly that you can't prepare for. This is almost beyond belief. But God was testing Abraham's faith. He was trying to discern if Abraham obeyed and loved and trusted God for the benefits that God gave or for God Himself. Do you know what I mean by that? Do we love the things that God gives us more than God Himself? That's idolatry. That's idolatry. It's one thing to profess our faith when we have the blessings God gives, yet another when those blessings are stripped away or threatened. Can God be trusted when things around us are falling apart? As Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Oh, that takes grace. That takes experience. That takes the power of the Holy Spirit to say that. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so this test is introduced, and we find, as the test is taken by Abraham, a radical faith and grace-driven obedience. Remember, this is the man that we've been looking at for the summer, a man who had left the promised land for greener pastures, a man who had lied about his wife, saying it was his sister, a man who had doubted God's promises over and over again. But that's the point. God, through his failures, was preparing Abraham for this particular moment in time. This radical test. He does the same for us. We fall on our faces. We take two steps forward, one step back, so that God can prepare us for something in the future, perhaps. Maybe we failed last time, but maybe this is the time by His grace that we walk by faith and obey. Look with me at verse 3. The test is announced. And then the next thing we read is verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place of which God had told him. And what strikes me is it reads so matter-of-factly. Like this is just what happened. God gives the test. So Abraham rose early. He gets up early and he does what God tells him to do. No window into his heart. No scene of Abraham crying or clenching his fist. No embrace with his wife Sarah. Just this straightforward. This is what Abraham does. This is immediate obedience. Immediate obedience. Children, the kind of obedience that God calls you to have. That He calls all of us to have when He obeys, when He calls us to obey. The text says he walks. He walks for 3 days. Dads, can you imagine what he must have been feeling on that journey? What must have been going on in his mind for those 45 miles with his boy, knowing what God had just said? On the third day, he sees the place from afar. It was Mount Moriah. And then we find incredible faith on display. Did you pick this up in verse 5? And Abraham said to his young men that came with him, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and we will worship. And then he says, and we will come back to you. Isn't that amazing? We. We'll come back to you. We're going to go worship. And then Isaac and me are going to return. I mean, that's faith, right? How does he know that Isaac is going to return with him? Well, Hebrews 11 gives us an insight into what was going on in Abraham's heart. Verses 17 through 19 of Hebrews 11. And this is such the beauty of having the New Testament. As we can read into these Old Testament passages and stories, we read there, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. Even from the dead. Abraham was convinced in the promises of God because he had learned through failures. Isn't that something? I'm going to go ahead and go through with this. And we're going to return, because even if Isaac dies, I know who God is. I know the character of God. I know the power of God. I know the goodness of God. And we're going to return together because God is able even to raise my boy up from the grave. Faith in the promises of God. In fact, James tells us that his faith was shown to be genuine when he made himself willing to do the unthinkable. He wasn't justified by this act. He was justified by faith alone, as we've seen. And yet, faith without works is dead. And Abraham here was willing to do what God had commanded him to do because he had been transformed by the grace of God. Well, the plot thickens, verses 6 and 7. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father. Now, we're not sure how old Isaac is here at this point, but he's obviously old enough to talk, and he's old enough to know something about sacrifices. He says, "My father." And Abraham says, "Here I am, my son." "Look," he says to his dad, "the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Little Isaac didn't know it, but he was a prophet. His daddy answers him, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." Now that's the kind of father we need to be to our kids. Pointing them away from themselves, pointing them away from us, pointing them away from even baptism itself to the one in whom their baptism points, pointing them to Jesus Christ. That's our responsibility as parents. God will provide himself the lamb. What a test. Take your son, your only son, and give him to me. As the curtains close on this emotional scene, we see the two of them going together, perhaps hand in hand, to the altar of sacrifice. Which brings us to our third heading this morning, the way, the gift, the test, and the way. They came to the place, verse 9, of which God had told them, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. He was willing to do it. He was willing to do it. But just then, a voice from heaven, the height of tension here. Verse 11, "But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham,' for and he said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Do not lay your hand on the lad, nor do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.'" Oh, what a moment. What a moment of grace to hear the voice of this angel from heaven say, "Don't do it. Now I know that you love me." And he opens his eyes and he looks, and what does he see? Verse 13, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. The substitutionary sacrifice. Isn't that interesting that God doesn't say, "Now go home, Abraham and Isaac, the test is over"? No, he continues with the sacrifice. He continues with the offering. The only thing that has changed is the victim. What a picture of the cross, where God made Him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. We deserve to be crushed for our guilt, but God laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. Do you see in Isaac, our Lord? Just as Isaac carried the wood of the sacrifice, so did Jesus carry the cross to that hill. Just as Isaac silently acquiesced, Jesus voluntarily bound Himself to His own altar as a sheep before its shears is silent, so He opened not His mouth. But there's a major difference, because Isaac was rescued by a substitution, but Jesus was not. Jesus became the sacrifice. When Jesus was on the cross, brothers and sisters, and listen to me very carefully, when Jesus was on the cross, He did not look up and see a ram or a sheep or a goat in a thicket. And God did not call out to Him and say, "There's the sacrifice." No, Jesus went all the way. Jesus went all the way to the uttermost by becoming our substitution. No wonder Jesus said of Abraham in John 8, verse 56, "Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." How did Abraham see the day of Jesus? He saw it in Genesis 22 when he saw this ram caught in the thicket. A picture of Christ Jesus. Gospel of John, we open up. There John the Baptist is ministering and he's preparing the way for the Lord. And there's a section there in the first chapter where John looks up this time and he sees one coming whose name is Jesus. And what does he say? "Behold!" Or, "Children, look!" John says, "the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world." Daddy, where will the Lamb come from? The Lamb will come from heaven, because the Lamb of God is God Himself, who took on your flesh to bear your sin, to bear your curse for you. You and me, like Isaac, were there, deserving of death. But Jesus is the one who takes it instead. Verse 14 says, "So Abraham called the name of the place, 'The Lord will provide.' As it is said to this day, 'In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided.'" Brothers and sisters, God will provide for you. Whatever you're struggling with today, whatever doubts you might have, whatever trials God is calling you to endure, He will provide. He does provide. Open your eyes and count your many blessings. He will provide. He does provide. Because He has provided. He has provided in the most amazing of ways. Did you know that this Mount Moriah was the exact same location where later in Israel's history Solomon would oversee the building of the temple? And the temple was a representation of what? The presence of God. And did you know that the same Mount of Moriah where Abraham took his son to be sacrificed was very, very close in proximity to a different mount, the Mount of Calvary, where God's presence was not felt by Jesus, but rather His absence. when the Father turned His face away from His only Son, the Son He so eternally loved. You don't think God's going to provide for you? If God was willing to do that, to come down here and to take it for you, and now that same God who rose from the dead is ever living to make intercession for us. As the angel, as God says in verse 12, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. We can also say, brothers and sisters, now we know that God will provide, because He has not withheld His only begotten Son from us. For God the Father so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever shall believe in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And now He's offered here the same gospel. Let's pray. Father in heaven, what a powerful, emotional, heart-gripping story this is. After receiving this long-awaited gift, there it is. There it is. And yet you called Abraham to take his son, the son he loved, and to sacrifice him. And Lord, we're so thankful that the story ends differently. We're so thankful that there was a ram caught in the thicket and you spoke to him from heaven. And we are so thankful for the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sins of the world. And that Lamb of God is offered to us this morning, to all who would believe in Jesus Christ for our sins. And we thank you that that same Lamb is here to nourish us and to feed our souls, our hungerings and our thirstings. Lord, as we go after the world, we're so often not content to let the world go by. We're sinners, Lord. We love ourselves more than you so often. And yet here you are, once again in your grace, saying, it is finished. It is done. I am enough. I have saved my children to the uttermost. Rest in me. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.